Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, I get it. It's a week late. I know we originally were going to upload this on the 8th, but looking at the holidays and the upcoming weeks, and since we decided to do the mailbag every 2 weeks from now on, instead of every month and every week, which is what majority of you voted on, I figured we do it today, the 15th of December. We'll do the next one, the 29th of December. So you all could let me know how your Christmas was for those who celebrate. Happy holidays, everyone. DT here, your mailbag for 12/15/2022. And I think what we're going to do from now on, starting the next show, is we'll let everybody vote on what they thought was their favorite question submitted on the show. And that person will win a prize. So I was thinking, spur of the moment, like, what can we give away, you know, for the next mailbag? And I'm not trying to be a little conceited, but I know this is something that a lot of you have asked for in the past. And I did find about 6 of them in my office buried somewhere. Not dead bodies, but Don Tony ceramic bobbleheads. You can hear it. So the next show, the next Q&A, whoever gets voted, like, the best question, yeah, my grimy hands, you'll get free Don Tony bobblehead. And if you want, I'll be more than happy even to give you, like, a signed picture. People ask me for signed photos once in a while, and I grant it. And I do have photos. I don't, you know, let it go to my head. But, you know, it feels good for people to want some Don Tony grub, especially after all these years. And, hey, look, you know, this is like, how long ago did we order these? We ordered these probably about 12 years ago. So, you know, it's, you know, if I use a little hair dye, I could probably still pull it off. All right. So the reason why we're going to do mailbags more often is to keep the questions fresher. And that allows us to not have to do 50 or 100 questions in one shot. The turnover will be a lot better, a lot quicker. And, hey, some topics do age after a little while. So let's get right into it. Now, some of your questions were submitted over in the community section on YouTube. Some of you chose to email it, dontony@dontony.com. Whichever you prefer, that is fine with me. And remember, the next mailbag will be Thursday, December 29th, so mark it down. I will definitely post a thread in the community section in a day or so you could start sending your questions in early. I wish YouTube would have, you know, like a pin feature that you could pin like one thread to the top so it always stays on the top. They don't do that. So, unfortunately, I do post on the community section once in a while. And for our elite channel members, every week they get a bonus Patreon show. That's not a cheap plug. I'm just saying, like, this will get buried rather quickly for everyone. So, YouTube, I know nobody's checking the show out, but a little pin feature would be good. You do it in the comment section on videos. You should do it in the community section. All right. In random order, and I know that there was a few Roman Reigns related questions that came in. Let's kick off with Noob. What's up, Noob? What feuds will be interesting heading into 2023? Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch versus Bayley, or Asuka versus Io Sky? Asuka versus Io Sky would be a problem right off the bat because of the language barrier. You know, the in-ring work between the two is a fantasy match. You know, I would love to see an Asuka-Io Sky feud for even a month or two. It's just in the WWE climate, I don't see it. You'll see a random Raw match, or maybe we will get a pay-per-view match. But as far as a really good deep feud with promos and back and forths, you know, I love Asuka, but I don't know if I want to see Io Sky and Asuka do their thing. You know, and most of it is not English. You remember not too long ago, they actually did have a little verbal exchange on Raw, and it was fun. but that wouldn't work in a feud. Bayley versus Becky Lynch. Obviously, we have been teased a little bit over the last few weeks. They have not had a one-on-one match for 3 years leading into, you know, recent weeks. And for me, out of all of these, Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley. I'm telling you, Rhea Ripley, I've said it before and I'll say it again, 2023, barring injury or some major screw-up on her part, personally, I'm telling you, I think she walks out of 2023 as the Women's Wrestler of the Year. Yeah, I'm predicting it a year early, but I'm telling you, you know, the comparisons to China, I get it because of the physique, probably because of the black leather outfits, plus her being able to go toe-to-toe with men, but there's much more than that. Rhea Ripley, I'm telling you, if she stays on the course, and as long as WWE gives her the platform, she's gonna be in the top five women's wrestlers of 2023, at minimum, at minimum. So her going up with, and personally, I think you don't put Rhea Ripley against Bianca Belair until you are ready to give the women's championship to Rhea Ripley. I'm really, really enjoying her work. She is quickly becoming my favorite women's wrestler currently in wrestling. Thank you, Noob. Maggie Lusk. What do I think will happen to the Bloodline after their storyline ends? I don't think the storyline will end for the foreseeable future, even after titles are lost, even after members are kicked out, even after there will be some infighting. You know, nobody talks about this, but there will be infighting amongst the Bloodline. And I'm not just talking about Sami Zayn. You will see the Usos tease a little bit of friction towards each other. You will have Roman Reigns, not just a little bit with Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso a little bit as well. Solo Sikoa, silent but violent. So I don't know how Solo they would handle that, but their storyline will continue for a very long time. And, you know, that infighting will allow, you know, easy riding for like the next 6 months, minimum, maybe longer than that. Yes, these wrestlers will feud with other people. I'm not saying that it's strictly going to be Roman versus, you know, Bloodline or, you know, a little bit of condescension, but that storyline will continue for quite some time. The thing is, and a lot of people, you know, ask me this off and on, you know, what's going to happen to Roman after WrestleMania? My first reaction is well-deserved time off. Sure, sure, he doesn't wrestle every week. Wrestles maybe once a month at when you really figure it out. He's not on TV every week. But as far as, you know, the being the focal point on the main roster, you know, he's got to take some time off to force that attention away from him. It's not a negative thing. Roman Reigns being the head of the WWE table is money. There's no question. But I think a well-deserved physical and mental vacation for Roman Reigns after WrestleMania, in my opinion. Does he lose both titles at Mania? I'm not so sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if he keeps at least one. Maybe he drops it, the Raw after WrestleMania, the SmackDown after WrestleMania. Personally, I would love to see a title change on the Raw after WrestleMania. I think having Roman Reigns walk out of Mania with at least one title would be something that people are not expecting. Then maybe he drops it the following day. So we'll see what happens. It's going to get here before we realize it. It's going to be here. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited. With Cody coming back and Seth steadily progressing to, you know, to maybe sort of head of the table. But I'm telling you, 2023 is going to be a fun year in pro wrestling. I really do. Even with, you know, some of the controversy outside of the wrestling ring that we have been seeing this year, I still think 2023 is going to be a fun year for pro wrestling as far as us as fans go. James Campbell, when Roman is defeated for the titles, do I think he'll retire saying there's nothing left for him, or will he look to conquer a new challenge, possibly Hollywood? I think it's a little bit of both. You know, the well-deserved vacation, a little bit of Hollywood. Why wouldn't he go Hollywood? I mean, a guy, you know, is very talented. I mean, he's got the look. You know, he is totally upped his game as far as a character goes. When he improvises, You know, and you saw not too long ago when he was walking down the rampway and he started getting pissed off and he's yelling, this is my show, that's my camera, that's my this. You know, it was fucking great. So I could definitely see him doing Hollywood. But I think there'll be a balance. He might kind of mirror John Cena, you know, as far as his progression into Hollywood. But no, I don't see Roman Reigns ultimately doing all these commercials for peanuts and cars and healthcare and this. Like John Cena, almost every night I hear a commercial where he's doing the voiceover for it. But Roman will definitely have a little bit of a footprint in Hollywood. But no, I don't see him retiring yet. You know, the future is never guaranteed. And Roman Reigns is still young enough that he has many years left in his career. Slow it down? Absolutely. But retire this early, and then years later you regret retiring so early? I don't see retirement in the immediate future for Roman Reigns. Unless, you know, physically he is just so exhausted that, you know, maybe medically he's forced to call it. But I just don't see that, to be honest. I don't see it. Thank you. Michael Gonzalez, do I think we could see the passing of a torch between Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa? He thinks Solo has all the tools becoming a main eventer at some point. No, I don't think Roman Reigns will need to pass the torch to Solo Sikoa. You know, not every legendary wrestler needs to have a torch passed over to them. Solo Sikoa is learning on the job, not as far as being a pro wrestler. I mean, he's got all the tools, and he's a great character. But just standing along the bloodline, you know, when he first came up, you know, it felt a little bit awkward. It felt different, you know. And then, you know, when I went on my honeymoon and saw him pop up in NXT and, you know, win the North American Championship, only to have to forfeit it right after, you know, it felt like I was still used to Solo Sikoa NXT. You knew he was going to the main roster. You knew he was going to be a star. But now when I watch him on TV, he fits like a glove. And he doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't have to do anything other than be the hitman. You know, just the, you know, the bouncer for the bloodline. And he doesn't need to actually have a rub to have someone pass the torch. He's earning his keep. And the greatest thing about it, he's just started. So let's see where Solo Sikoa is 5 years from now. Think about the Usos. Think about when they were in the WWE back in the days when they were with Tamina. You know, did you ever think that they would be considered arguably one of the greatest tag teams of this generation? And not only that, nobody comments about their size anymore. Nobody, you know, looks at it more as, again, these two are legit. And again, you know, they deserved to be tag team of the year. You know, just the amount of work. And let's also give Jimmy Uso a hell of a lot of credit, you know, and Jey Uso as well. But, you know, you think about the trials and tribulations, you know, before this, you know, major, you know, shift into the record books and just the legitimacy. And, you know, it's even better. People aren't bored with them. Some of the storylines we get bored at, but people aren't bored at watching the Usos perform. That's when you know you got something special. Solo Sikoa will be just fine. It'll be just fine. All right, let's shift over to some email. Now, if some of you, your questions are not answered for this episode, it'll definitely be answered on the next one. Some of you out there, I don't mind sending multiple questions, but there was at least five of you out there that sent like six, seven questions, you know, five, six, or seven. And the idea of doing these more often is to do, you know, small number of questions, and we're not going to spend 20 minutes on one person. You know, no offense. I mean, some of the questions are phenomenal, but we want to keep this fresh and we want to keep it going. And hey, if we get a boatload of questions in a particular time span, I will do one a week after. We don't have to stick on the schedule, but I want people to start getting used to knowing that, oh, not next week, but the week after Q&A or this. And, you know, we'll see. And plus, we don't want this to get boring. You know, we want to keep the questions fresh. Mark Hicks II, would I like to see CM Punk back in the WWE? As a wrestling fan, yes. Yes. Because it would be very intriguing to see him show up in WWE. It would be very intriguing to watch him go toe-to-toe with Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, you know, a few others. I think even some older wrestlers, I wouldn't mind seeing AJ Styles and CM Punk going at it a little bit. There's enough that would keep my interest. Outside of being a fan, I look at CM Punk, the person, and sure, as you get older, you mellow. As you get older, you kind of relax, we see it all the time. And I think CM Punk, as he has gotten older, I think him wanting to give back a little bit more, I don't think that's a gimmick. When you heard people like Powerhouse Hobbs and FTR and even some others a year ago talking about how CM Punk goes out of his way to, you know, offer a little opinion, advice, want to help some people, you know, and not just, I got to have my own locker room, I want to be by myself, don't talk to me, don't bother me. You know, that's a cool deal. And CM Punk is definitely mellowed during his time off. The thing is, though, is his core. I don't think his core has changed. And what happens, you know, if there are things that he's, you know, where CM Punk is not the focus, where CM Punk may have to go on a little bit of a losing streak, where CM Punk is not getting the push at a time that he thought he was going to get. What are we going to have? Are we going to have, you know, something similar with a Sasha Banks? With all due respect, we all want to see Sasha Banks back because we know how good she performs. She's a great talent. But you also realize that she is complicated. And with that, you know, you kind of have to bend over backwards a little bit more. Is that fair to the rest of the roster? I think for a lot of people on the roster, if everybody makes money, everybody is happy. As long as their opportunity is not hurt because of somebody making a return or being catered a little bit more. You know, I mean, you look at Hollywood, you know, you see like the main star has their own dressing room, has their own big chair, has this. And a lot of people get envious and jealous. But that should make people want to strive even more that one day I'm going to have that. One day I'm going to have that. So, yes, I would like to see CM Punk back. But deep down inside, I don't know, you know, how, if it's going to backfire. We'll see what happens. Ralph Jameson from Tennessee. DT, you always call out the garbage news sites. What wrestling news sites do I find credible? Fightful. Listen, I want to make this clear. You know, doing this for 26 years and at some points really reporting wrestling news up to the mid-2000s, you know, I still have connections. I still have friends. I could still ask questions. I could still drop emails and DMs to try to find out some things. But, you know, the reason why I pulled away from news is just too much workload. But I will say this, you know, almost everybody, even in the world of entertainment, in mainstream news, people always get very creative with their reporting. They will say something vague and they'll always be like no one is 100% straight up, honest, accurate. You know, people will play both sides of the coin. But the problem is that there are people out there that they do nothing but clickbait, nothing but this. My source is this. My source is that. You know, I was told this and I was told that. And like the funniest one lately, I saw, I don't want to say who it is, but somebody reported that Vince McMahon's girlfriend is not happy about the report that came out that somebody's accusing Vince of assault from like 10 years ago with at some resort or spa. You see how cute that is? Vince McMahon's girlfriend. They never mentioned the woman's name. And the reason why that's done is because by not mentioning the woman's name, that woman cannot go back and directly accuse that person of fake news. By saying girlfriend, it could be anybody. It could be Vince's girlfriend from a year ago. It could be Vince's girlfriend from 10 years ago. It could be the current girlfriend. By doing that, you're generalizing, and that is one of the, you know, like first things in the book when you clickbait and stuff like that. You use such a general term that you can't put a name on it. And, you know, honestly, I look at that and it's like it's cheesy dick moves by some reporters, Vince McMahon's girlfriend. If you're going to make an accusation like that, say the person's name and let's see how the person reacts to what you wrote. But they don't do that because now it could be anybody. Could be anybody. But no, Fightful definitely has connections. They have friends. You know, a lot of wrestlers do read dirt sheets. A lot of wrestlers do check out podcasts. You know, they don't just tune into, you know, people who are journalists. They tune into various shows. I have friends that, you know, I consider friends that enjoy my stuff. I have friends, you know, that listen, watch other podcasts. You know, there are people. But Fightful definitely has sources. They are legit. Overall, I respect Meltzer. Meltzer does, you know, have tons of sources. I think the only problem with Dave Meltzer, and it's not even a favoritism for AEW Japan, you know, he's allowed to favor whatever he wants. But one thing I notice about Dave, especially when he does a podcast or he's asked questions or super chats or whatever it is, he will never tell someone, hey, let me look into it and I'll get back to you. Like, there's always an answer given. And a lot of times when there is no straight up answer, it is so vague and generalized. Like, man, just tell the person, you know, that, you know, you'll look into it and you'll let them know. Like, like there's always like an answer to something. Hey, you know, have you heard anything about blah, 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 blah. And then instead of just saying like, no, there's no update or this is that. Well, you know, there's word that this could go down, but, you know, we also heard that this is go down, and, you know, and then you can't forget about this. And it's like, you know, that's one thing I notice about him. And you know what? Overall, though, I love Dave. I still subscribe to his newsletter, you know, not for any other reason other than, you know, I still value what he reports. And I do respect some of his views, even if I disagree with it. Those two, Bill Apter is great. Even, believe it or not, PW Insider, you know, say what you want about the politics with Mike Johnson 20 years ago, but Mike Johnson definitely is legit. Dave Shearer is, you know, legit. Wade Keller, even though I don't like him, he definitely has his sources. All those guys, and most of them are old school, but all those guys, they definitely, for the most part, are legit with what they report. So, you know, those are the ones, and I'm sure I'm leaving out somebody. And I'm not, you know, saying that no one else is legit or accurate, but as far as the bigger names out there, those are the ones that I would say right off the bat. And listen, I will admit it. Years ago, I used to feel completely opposite about some people out there. Sean Ross Sapp is a great example. Early on, you know, I didn't know who he was, and his name was popping up, and people kept saying to me, oh, Sean Ross Sapp reported this, and what do you think about what Sean Ross Sapp said? And I'm like, what the fuck? And, you know, sometimes, you know, some of the stuff ended up being incorrect. But, you know, I totally shot down all his stuff early on, and then, you know, little by little, you start hearing from people, no, he's legit, and this is that. No, he really does. And then you hear others. And so, you know, I definitely, in past years, I think, jumped the gun and downplayed a lot of people and ripped their credibility. And, you know, you realize now you could tell who is legit and who isn't. But like I said, a lot of places, you know, they'll always stretch the truth a little bit, you know, just to get a little bit extra. But when it goes to clickbait territory, that's where I draw the line. And you see it. You see even in the last 12 hours with the Mandy Rose story about being let go, now people are claiming that, oh, this is what led to this, and oh, this started this. And if you actually think about what these people are writing, they're not actually reporting anything. It's pretty much more common news, you know, common sense. You know, oh, WWE made a spur-of-the-moment decision to take the title off of Mandy. You think? Mandy Rose was not notified of her release until after the match was over. You think? That's not news. That's common sense. You know, we even talked about it on Wednesday Night Dynamite from this week. You know, when you usually get fired from a job, you know, they don't let you go back to your desk and clear it out. They don't let you say goodbye to your friends and coworkers. They just get the fuck out. Security, escort them out. But I just want my stuff. I'm not going to do anything. Look at me. I'm 75 years old. I mean, I just want it. No. We'll put it in a box. You could have someone come by and pick it up. You know, you think in your anybody's right mind that they're going to terminate Mandy and tell her this and then say, oh, by the way, you got to, you know, go out there and drop the title of Roxanne. I mean, Mandy may have gone with it as well, but nobody does that. They do their job, and then they say, okay, that's it. All right, Jonathan Garcia, thank you for the kind words. He was telling me a little bit of a story that back he used to tune into the shows, and his grandmother would be hearing, like, drips and drabs in the background, and she would say, like, what are you listening to? And she would, he would tell her, or he would let her hear some of it, and the cursing and all of that, and she would just, like, you know, could only imagine her reaction to it. He wants to know, with regards to Camille in the NWA, am I a fan of hers? Do I think she would be a better fit in WWE or AEW? Who would I like to see her face off with? Camille is great. I am definitely a fan of Camille. I've bought in with her character, her ability, genuinely a good person. I think Camille still needs a little bit more seasoning and experience. You know, for short spurts, Camille is perfectly fine. As far as the WWE grind goes, I don't know if she would be ready to go toe-to-toe for extended periods of time with some of the main wrestlers. Listen, you know, over the years, even before, you know, Charlotte went to the main roster or some others, Rhea Ripley, you know, there used to be women who used to be like, wow, she's ready for the main roster. What are they waiting for? Even with some guys today in NXT, some people feel like, oh, Carmelo Hayes, he's ready. What are you waiting for? Bron Breakker, bring him up now. But, you know, sometimes, no, you know, you don't want him to get lost in the shuffle in the main roster. But second, you know, you got to think about, can they hang with some of the people who we would expect them to hang with on the main roster? And I don't think Camille is at that point yet. I think if she was forced to go to one of the two, I would bring her to AEW because the work schedule would be far less. The matches, I think, would be a little bit easier, and the focus would not be on her as much compared to WWE. WWE machine, you're seen and heard everywhere. You're still seen and heard in AEW, but, you know, it is very, very balanced. Very balanced. I mean, you know, look at Toni Storm. She lost the title. You know, it's been a little while already when you think about it. There's no focus on Toni Storm right now. There's not even that much focus on Britt Baker. There's not that much focus on some of the other wrestlers. Jade Cargill, it's drips and drabs. That's not a bad thing, especially with wrestlers developing. So I think Camille could definitely, you know, that would be the next step in her career. So that's where I would go with that. I heard clapping. It's my TV in the background. Like, hey, I know that was a good discussion about Camille, but where's the clapping coming from? Wow, that kind of freaked me out. Roderick Howard. He was watching Starrcade 85. Commentators were really putting over Buddy Landell. He had tremendous potential, in-ring his character, his work ethic, his personality, his mic skills. Unfortunately, his hard partying lifestyle, you know, derailed his career. In an ideal world, if he would have kept his head on straight post Starrcade 85, what do I think Buddy Landell's ceiling have been? You know, listen, you had Nature Boy Buddy Rogers, you had Nature Boy Ric Flair, you had Nature Boy Buddy Landell, you know, you've had other wrestlers that had a similar look. I think the problem is Buddy Landell would not have been a very good WWF character in the 80s or even in the 90s. And before anybody says to me, yes, I know he was on WWF TV. But that character would not fit. It is more of a Southern, you know, look about him. And when you got already a Nature Boy in the NWA, in WCW, I don't think Buddy Landell, I don't think he would have gone that much further. I mean, he could have gone to maybe another promotion and, you know, maybe creatively been able to do a little bit more and stand out a little bit more. I think the problem is when you already have, you know, look, when you already have Ric Flair and he has a similar look, But he's epic on the mic. He's epic in the ring. He's perfect ring general. Everything about him, he's got. And you have Buddy Landell with a very, very similar look. You know, why would you gravitate to Buddy Landell? I think he would have had to have drastically changed his look or his persona. I don't think he would have really gone that much further. I think people in the wrestling business really respected Buddy Landell. And listen, he was great. Guy could do it. Problem is, you know, you really have to almost stand out and be a little bit more unique. And at that time, I think he would have been more south, in the Midwest, Florida. And you already have Ric Flair consuming those areas. I don't think it would have. He really would have amounted. He would have won championships. He would have done great, but nowhere near, you know, what people, I think he could have done if he kept his head clear. Top five Randy Orton matches of all time. I couldn't give you a complete retrospect going back to day one in his career, but I was looking at like top 30, top 50 match lists of his. And five that stood out to me right away, his match against Cactus Jack, Backlash 2004. Him versus Edge versus Jericho versus Benoit versus Triple H versus Batista, New Year's Revolution 2005. If you see the pattern here, I try to have a match where someone is not repeated twice. Him versus Jeff Hardy, Hell in a Cell 2018. I didn't expect the match to be as good as it was. Him versus Luke Harper, Elimination Chamber 2017. At that time, I don't think anybody was really paying attention to Luke Harper as a singles guy, but I enjoyed that match tremendously. Even if he was still alive, I still would pick that match. Him versus Seth Rollins, WrestleMania 31, is one of my recent favorites. Just that match, and obviously, you know, the RKO was tremendous. But him versus Seth Rollins, I enjoyed a lot. And yes, we could go back to his earlier days, stuff with Cena, stuff with Triple H. You know, there are many, many matches. But I wanted to give you five and not just the usual ones I think people would always go to by default. And my top five all-time favorite old-school hip-hop artists. Run DMC, Tribe Called Quest, Big Daddy Kane, Eric B. and Rakim, and Public Enemy. And no, not the ECW Public Enemy. Those five, immediately, my favorites, old school. And believe me, some of those choices were kind of hard to pick because there are others that are really high on my list as well. But if you ask me, that would be my five right now. So, all right, getting back to community section, Nero Fay. By the way, happy 1 year anniversary. A lot of people may not know this. Nero Fay, you know, very good friend of the show, lives in Israel. About 1 year ago, he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma and he beat it. So it's 1 year ago that he is now cancer free. So happy holidays, my friend. One of my thoughts about all the things that Kanye West has been saying lately, I am not a fan of Kanye West. Never was. I've heard him say wacky things in the past. I don't know where this comes from sometimes. I don't know why. You know, it's weird how some people predicted so closely some of the things he's saying now. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And I'm just not a fan of Kanye West. You know, it's not about his music. It's just something about him. Just never liked it. Never liked him. Just never liked him. So, you know, the stuff he's saying, some of it is god-awful. And, you know, unfortunately, some people actually agree with some of his views. For me, I just prefer to ignore the man, to be honest with you. But thank you for that, Nier. Happy 1 year again. Tom Lowry. As a big Bayley fan, do I think we could possibly have Bayley win a number one contendership and win the title from Bianca, go on to lose it to Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania? It's not a bad idea, but Rhea Ripley, even though fans are starting to really dig her And I'm telling you, I think Judgment Day, they got to wait till obviously after the feud between Dominic and Rey heats up again for WrestleMania. But I think at some point in 2023, Judgment Day is going to be a babyface group. Maybe not your quintessential babyface group, but they're turning so much into badasses with their characters. And I love the improvising that Damian Priest does. You know, some of his mannerisms, some of the things he says, you know, on Raw when Dominic was burning, his eyes were burning from the mist. And Damian's like, hey, you know, you should be happy. You know, something else could be burning right now to insinuate that maybe Rhea Ripley could give him a sexually transmitted. I laughed out loud. And little things like that, I mean, it really just gives a little bit of a different extension of Damian Priest. Finn Balor, everybody's loving what he's doing. And Rhea Ripley is gonna. I'm telling you, like I said earlier. But Rhea Ripley, until she becomes this badass babyface that I think everybody digs, I think she's got to take the title off for Rhea Ripley. I don't think she's got to take the title off of Bianca Belair. She cannot. I don't think it would feel the same if Rhea Ripley beats Bayley. Even though that might be more of a fantasy match for some, Bianca Belair losing to Rhea Ripley, for me, that is the perfect scenario. We'll see. We will see. But I think Rhea Ripley, I think within the next 6 months, Rhea Ripley is your Raw Women's Champion. I know 6 months is a lot of time, but she will get that championship. And I think her beating Bianca instead of Bayley is my way to go with it. All right. Blazing Bolts. I don't know why your question is up in the air. I think Jay White's IWGP World Heavyweight Championship reign has been lackluster so far. Do I agree or disagree and why? let me see if I can move this down. I don't know why. Oh, okay. I can move it down. All right. We could fix it. All right. We can fix it. There you go. All right. Jay White, you know, the thing you got to understand is, again, I've said this many times, about 95% of American wrestling fans, and I am an American, I live in the United States, we don't follow Japanese wrestling all that much. And the thing is that if you actually look at Jay White's 2022 run, a lot of it is in tournaments, a lot of it is buried in tag team matches. He has had a handful of significant wins in 2022. But understand also, and I don't know what part of the world you are living right now, but in Japan, they still have major issues with COVID. And I even saw something reported earlier that there's new guidelines as far as how fans cheer at wrestling events in Japan. I haven't read the article yet, but that just goes to show you. I mean, things are handled differently over there. And I don't think his run has been lackluster because of him. I think it's more because they're still dealing with a pandemic, probably worse than we are in the States. But if you look at his overall record in 2022, he actually has done pretty damn good for himself. I don't know what more he could have done to really make it stand out. But I think, especially, you know, not living in Japan and not a focal point of my wrestling viewership, I don't think there's anything that he would have done that would have made me say, oh, man, he's having a tremendous crazy. Who is in Japan when you actually think about it? We've had breakout stars, but I think his reign has been fine just now. I actually don't think there's been any issues with it at all. So thank you again for that. All right. Wow. We did this. Oh, four more questions, and we out of here. Michael Gonzalez. Oh, we did that one. Hey, I'm finishing my night sooner than I expect. Kevin Milwaukee. Dustin Rhodes announced at Blizzard Brawl for Great Lakes Championship Wrestling that 2023 will be his last year in the ring. He's been doing it for 25 years. He still remembers him and his dad versus Ted DiBiase and Virgil at the 91 Royal Rumble. Never really gets mentioned. His favorite moment was the Hollywood Backlot Brawl when he snapped on the promo for the first time, came to the ring at 7 in WCW. Oof. That's an interesting favorite because I don't know many people over the years that would have chose that. I'm not knocking it, but that's good. My favorite Dustin Rhodes moment of all time, and trust me, I always loved Goldust. I love when he was the artist formerly known as Goldust, is some of my favorite work that Dustin has ever done. It is so politically incorrect. I mean, I think some people today that never saw the artist formerly known as Goldust when he was with Luna, that is some wild, fucked up shit. And I'm not even talking about when he did Baby New Year and, you know, Austin beat the shit out of him. But my favorite all-time moment with Dustin is when he had the confrontation in the ring with Dusty. And this was at the time where Dusty was feuding with Terry Funk and I think Bunkhouse Buck. And Dusty Rhodes wanted a partner to go against those guys. And I remember he was in the ring with Dustin and he said, you know, I don't need a handshake. You know, just give me a hug and a kiss. And Dusty started to break down a little bit. Dustin, his eyes a little watery. And man, that was awesome, man. It was a great moment. I still think about it to this day. You know, Dusty doesn't need a contract. Dusty doesn't need a handshake. That's his son. And he wanted to team up with his son. That's probably my favorite Dustin moment of all time. Even though Dusty did all the talking, still loved it. Still loved it. But thank you for that. Nice little memory there. Nice little memory. Gary Vaughn. Two Christmas questions. Single white lights or multicolored lights? And the lights, dancing pattern or solid light pattern? Interesting, because, you know, now since I'm married, there's some little subtle changes in my place. My wife has not moved in yet. We're slowly changing things in my place. I didn't realize how many clothes that I had. It was like no closet space, so she'll be in here permanently in about a month. But she decorated our windows for the first time. And she's got these lights, and some of them are steady white lights. Some of them are multicolor. One little lantern is blinking lights. And I was looking at it the other day, even before I saw your question, I was like trying to figure out like which one I like the most. I kind of like multicolored lights and the ones that are just lit. Blinking lights are okay. But I think just seeing steady lights. And look, I know some of you asked me if I was going to put the Christmas lights in the background this year, and I didn't because it still doesn't feel like Christmas to me. I'm not going to lie. I did no shopping yet. I did very, very little. I bought something for my parents. I bought something for me. So tonight, and yes, I originally did 3/4 of this Q&A last week, and I was just going to add some extra questions tonight, splice it together, and put it online. But I was like, you know what? Let me just do it all over again. So that's why I'm actually re-recording this Thursday, the 15th of December. But we're now December 15th, and I still really haven't done anything. For most of my family members, it's gift cards and cash. That's what I'm given. But, you know, Christmas, I don't know. Something about this year, I'm just not feeling it. You know, you would think, oh, my first Christmas being married. Oh, my first this. Oh, Christmas this. I don't know. Just something about it. I'm just not feeling it. I'll probably feel it a couple of days before. But right now, no. But steady colored lights is what I like. And favorite holiday movie, his is Die Hard. Believe it or not, mine is Home Alone. And only because, and I've said this before, I was not a fan of Home Alone for many, many, many years. I just wasn't interested in watching it. I think because I remember going to the movies on a date, and I don't remember the name of the movie, but Macaulay Culkin was in it. And it was something with a girl. It was like My Girl or something like that. It was like a short title. It was about like a little blonde-haired girl and him. And I hated the movie. I know the movie was, you know, praised. But I don't know. Maybe just in my 20s, you know, watching this movie, I'm like, I don't want to see this. You know, but I just didn't like Macaulay Culkin after that. And then they did Home Alone. And then the amount of attention that movie got, I was like, oh, leave me alone with that stuff. Plus, and I've said this before on Patreon, plus, you got to understand something. In 1990, that's when the movie came out. That same year, Goodfellas came out. And Goodfellas is my favorite movie of all time. And I did not want to see Joe Pesci acting like a clown. You know what I mean? Like, when you see him in Goodfellas, like, I just wasn't interested in seeing him doing the comedy stuff in Home Alone. Like, I'd see little drips and drabs, and it was kind of funny, but because they came out so close together, I was like, no, I'd rather just see, you know. So many years later, one time it was on, and I decided to watch it, and I couldn't believe how much I was laughing in this movie. And Joe Pesci and that other guy, they made the movie for me. Yes, that movie can never be made in 2022. God forbid you leave your kid home and you go on a plane, you're arrested for that shit. But Home Alone, I'm a late bloomer of. So I'm still enjoying it. I could watch that at the Christmas time. When I was a kid, and understand this was many, 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 many decades ago, my favorite movie to watch at Christmas time was Laurel and Hardy, I think March of the Wooden Soldiers. That movie, here in New York, we used to have WPIX Channel 11. Every Christmas, that movie would air on WPIX. And every year, I would watch it. So as a kid, that was my favorite movie. But for me, it's Home Alone. All right, last question. Hope it's a good one, because I just did these at random tonight, everyone. Roger Rubio, overall thoughts on Bailey and her run since coming back from her ACL injury. What do I think the future of her holds? Keep up the great work. Thank you. I know a lot of people have been very disappointed with damage control, and I think the reason being was because of the placement on the shows. You know, there were many, many episodes of Raw that Damage Control would go off the air. Like, we'd go off the air. And I think after watching Raw for 3 hours on a Monday night, especially when the Raw lags, you know, by the time you get to that final moments of the third hour, you want to feel like, okay, I watched this motherfucker for 3 hours. Give me a good payoff. Make me feel like it was worth me staying up for 3 hours to watch this. And you would have some very lackluster content with Damage Control to go off the air. And I think that would just make it feel even worse. You know what I mean? Like, if you go to a restaurant and, you know, you have a decent appetizer, a decent salad, a decent this, a decent that, and then you have like a subpar average dessert, you know, you'll at least say, well, you know what? At least I, you know, got a whole bunch of other things that I enjoyed. But if your soup sucks, if your appetizer is not very good, if your salad is bland, your main course is kind of crappy, and now you're saying to yourself, hey, you know, this dinner is kind of sucked, but you know what? Dessert is coming. Oh, dessert is, give me a good fucking dessert. And then they give you shit. By that time, you want to throw that dessert against the wall. You're just like, man, fuck. And I think that's a lot of the feeling with Damage Control. I think if they were placed in different areas of the show at times, I don't think it would have been received as bad. They had a lot of work to do with Io Sky and Dakota Kai. You know, the funny thing is, you know, when they were in NXT, you know, NXT's rating still 600s. For the most part, some fives, once in a while, some sevens. But, you know, everybody talks about, oh, Vince let this person go. Oh, Io Sky doesn't want to renew this and that. You know, and then they come to the main roster, and it's awesome because we're going to see new matches that we haven't seen on the main roster. The problem is, you know, the two women themselves were never huge ratings draw. So they come to the main roster, and you try to do the same template you did in NXT, and guess what? A much smaller group of people seem to dig it. And a lot of other people, you know, you got to get them gradually to like it. You can't just throw a bang in their face. Now, yes, Sky and Kai are definitely legit good tag team champions. One of the better tag teams that WWE has had in recent years. The problem is, you look at all of the Damage Control antics that led up to it, especially when some of it was not all that great or well-received, and it kind of puts a bigger sour taste in your mouth. So I think in time, that will, you know, resolve itself. Bailey is beloved by the fans. She is an annoying heel. That is her job. She is doing her job fine. But I think at some point, Bayley is going to have to tweak the character. And WWE obviously is going to have to be the ones that want to do it. And she's going to have to be a tweener. She's going to have to be more of a baby face. She doesn't have to be the hugger that she was before. But I think if sarcastic Bayley gets in the face of women that we want to see, like, you know, get put in their place, I think it'll work better for her. Plus, you got to understand, too, she had a major, major injury. And yes, she is healed and she is pretty much 100%. But you also want to take your time getting her back in the mix. And, you know, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors as far as her and what she's doing. When she has matches, she does fine. But you also got to be very, very careful with her. You know, you don't want to obviously have the re-injury. But understand, too, Bayley is, you know, got more years on her. And you have to be much more careful. Honestly, overall, I think Bayley has done just fine. I don't think there would have been any scenario where, you know, everyone would have been like, oh my God, she's fucking phenomenal since she came back. Wow, you know, she should be the focal point. I don't think that was ever the intention. And even with, you know, the escalation of Bianca Belair, and look at Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley's got no championship. Rhea Ripley's got no tag partner. Rhea Ripley is many times interfering with men's matches and causing opponents to lose. And she's basically cheating, but still, something about it, everybody is digging. So it's you just got to let it play its course. But honestly, I think Bayley has been doing great so far. I don't think there's been any issue whatsoever. The damage control stuff has not been as well received. And I think we'll see some subtle changes going forward. I don't see Sky and Kai being the tag champs after WrestleMania. If Sasha and Naomi do come back, and I believe they will, I'm still going with that. That would be an interesting dynamic to see where this goes, you know, as far as with Sky and Kai. But this question is about Bayley, and I think Bayley will be fine. Bayley has a lot of opponents that she could face down the line. But right now, I think she is more needed to get Sky and Kai over that much more. And look, Io Sky just had a great match with Candice LeRae. It was decent. They've had some great matches in NXT. And I made a comment on this past Monday show. You know, that crowd at times on Monday's Raw was really good. But it felt like they weren't into that match at all. And that match deserved more crowd reaction and attention. My point is, just because it was great in NXT doesn't mean that it's great on the bigger platform for the WWE Universe is more of an entertainment value. So I think, you know, developing the characters and the personas have to be done a little bit more, and that's where Bayley comes in. So, yeah, I mean, let's give it more time. She's not back that long. You know, SummerSlam was not that long ago. You know, and when Sky and Kai came in, and then you realize Bayley, you know, returning and slowly getting back, it hasn't been that long. I think you got to give Bayley a good year, and then we reevaluate it. So, all right, guys, I'm out of here. I know we're not going to do another one until the Thursday after Christmas. So, on behalf of myself and no one else, because I do this by myself, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all the love. Thank you, as always, for the support. It is very much appreciated. And definitely leave your comments, your feedback. And if you want to submit a question early for the next mailbag, you can email it right now, dontony@dontony.com. And otherwise, you could wait for the next thread that'll be posted in the community section. I will definitely plug it on some of the other episodes, so you'll have plenty of time to submit it. And like I said, all I ask is just keep your question, you know, simplified where I can show it on the screen. You know, I mean, some of you, I mean, paragraphs, and I don't mind. But then some people get a little bit annoyed when I narrow it down to like two sentences. You know, this is a mailbag. This, you know, so just, you know, do that and it makes things a lot easier and just lets the show flow a little bit more. So I don't even know how long we were going. Oh, we've gone about an hour. Okay. All right. I can dig that. So I think that's pretty much where we wanted to go with these. So everyone be well. Much love as always. And I will see you all again with the next mailbag Thursday, December 29th. 2022. Thanks, everybody. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. Doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.